right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CADcast episode number 322. I'm your host, GBD, here in Tokyo, Japan. And of course, we are joined by a man who makes terrible decisions, Wombat.
Not all my decisions are terrible, just some terrible decisions.
And of course, we have a man who likes to tell you about Wombat's terrible decisions, Shipwreck.
It's what I live for.
It does make you happy.
I wake up every morning and I look at our little chat room that we have on Instant Messenger, and it's usually Shipwreck yelling at Wombat about some bad decision that he's made.
I think you need to go deeper. It's not just him yelling at me, but it's a good 3, 4, sometimes 7 hours of Shipwreck yelling at me about terrible decisions I made.
Well, you deserve it usually. Like, I tell you what would make your life better, and you agree with me, and then you just go out and make the opposite decision.
That's kind of how I roll, yes. But you know why? Because I know deep down you prefer it.
I don't think so.
Oh, I do.
Shipwreck,
a masochist.
No.
Shipwreck is?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Deep down is a...
I think I generally like to like things, and I like to make your life better.
I think so.
Yeah, I think you're just saying that so everyone takes your side.
Well, in a completely unrelated question, Bizarro Will writes in and wants to know what we liked better, Hitman, Tomb Raider, or Bioshock Infinite? And if you only had $60, which would you go with? And this is just one of Wombat's more recent horrible decisions. Although Halo 4 is not on this list.
No, I bought Halo 4 yesterday because it was on sale for $29.99 and I didn't have it yet. And I'm like, you know what? That's the lowest I've seen it. I'm just going to go for it. And I don't regret that. Why would I regret doing that?
I don't know. Tomb Raider is really good. And if you bought it, we could have talked about it on the show.
Yeah, but that was before the next day, which would have been today for us. It was when Tomb Raider went on sale for $39.99. But it was the next day after I had already bought Halo 4. If they were both on sale at the same time, I probably would have gone Tomb Raider for the extra $10 over Halo. I'm not going to buy two games within the same week, because then what usually happens when I do that is I wind up playing none of them, and that would be even worse. So
I'm just curious where Halo 4 like even popped into your mind that this was the game that you were going to buy right now.
Because I just finished Bioshock Infinite, and as much as I'm enjoying Injustice, which I actually am, despite hating it 2 weeks ago, but that was without playing it, so at least I put my money where my mouth is.
So it was justified.
I that's not a game I need to play for an extended period of time, because fighting game, and I finished the story mode in that, so I'm like, okay, well, you know what, I guess it's time for me to look for something new. I should be playing some games, and I haven't played Halo 4 yet. I've played every other Halo game. I've thoroughly enjoyed every other Halo game. You have told me numerous times that it's the best-looking game on the console, so I figured I should pick it up.
Halo 4 is a good game. It's an excellent-looking game that is definitely Halo.
Yeah, so I figured, you know what? I could use something that's, that's the kind of game I think I'm in the mindset to play right now.
The thing is, I think you're really going to like Tomb Raider, and you're just passing it over.
I'm not just passing it over. It's just like every time that the opportunity to play Tomb Raider comes up, it's not the right time. This weekend is going to be a rough weekend anyway. I don't think I'll get to play anything because my wife's going to be away on a spa weekend with the girls.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, leaving me alone with the children for 3 days. So I don't know how much gameplay I'm really going to get in over the next 3 days. And next weekend's going to be busy also, but we'll see. I mean, I should be able to find some time to play something in the next, week and a half. We'll see how that all goes down. But I went with Halo over Tomb Raider. Does it really like the most egregious thing anyone's ever done?
It's not that bad, actually. But to answer Bizarro Will's question, the answer is Tomb Raider is the best game out of those.
Yeah,
three.
It's not like I went out and bought Star Trek.
Whoops! Right? What kind of asshole would do that?
Yeah, exactly.
Only a complete moron.
Let's
would do
put
that.
It that instead of buying Tomb Raider for $40, I bought Halo 4 for $30. I not only did I buy the game, I didn't pay full. I paid half off. Half off retail.
Is your calculator out right now?
No. And the game I played before that was Injustice because of all the shit talk that I talked about it on this show. I felt that it would make for better CAG casting for me to play Injustice than for me to play Tomb Raider.
If you know what you're talking about.
Exactly. I think it will later on in this episode make for a better show when we get up to the Injustice section of the show.
Since you bought Halo 4, I would like the three of us to play through the Spartan Ops stuff.
I'm more than happy to do that. Cheapy.
Yes, I can do that. I have it.
Okay.
So yeah, again, I'm not buying bad games. Horrible decisions would be I'm buying like the worst of the worst. Like I went out this weekend and I bought Star Trek and Aliens, but I didn't do that.
Right. I didn't buy Aliens. In my defense,
I know. I know you didn't. I know. Thank you. I'm just saying.
I bought Anarchy Reigns.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, so maybe this isn't Wombat's horrible decisions. It's Wombat's questionable decisions.
Yeah, I think that's better. I'll take it.
Okay.
So kiss my buttocks.
Right, fine. So, yeah, we're going to do a Bioshock spoiler talk, but we're going to wait for the end of the show, so you don't have to worry about knowing when the spoilers are coming. You'll know, because the show will be over, and then we'll start talking about Bioshock. And if you're still here, you will be spoiled with awesome conversation.
Just like my children.
Right. Are they spoiled with awesome conversation?
Yeah, that's pretty much all they're getting spoiled with.
Right. How about some show feedback from last week's show?
Sure. Detective Conan 16 has to say, Wombat, I think localization at Nintendo depends on the type of game it is. For huge games with lots of text like Pokemon and Animal Crossing, of course it'll take a while. Mario and Zelda, on the other hand, can easily be localized since there's so much less text. The wait sucks, but with the next Pokemon, they did say they are trying to localize games at the same time, so maybe Nintendo can learn from this experience and see how to make their text-heavier games readily available in English. Or hire more Western developers. I was surprised because I really thought this was something that really only bothered me. I really did. I had never really read or heard anyone else talk about this. How many people commented to me, mostly on Twitter, how they're frustrated with this as well, and thanking me for bringing it up. And I had no idea that it was, you know, not a problem, but that's the word I'm going to use, a problem for so many people.
You know, Wombat, I don't use the word hero often, but you, sir, are the greatest hero in American history.
Well, that's true, too, for numerous reasons. But, I just think it's interesting, and I was surprised at how many people are annoyed by this and that Nintendo continues to do this, where I think
you were surprised by people wanting their games sooner.
Well, it's not even
a language they could understand.
It's going to say it's not wanting their game sooner. I can understand, you know, I'd really love to play, you know, Lego Marvel today, but the game isn't finished yet. I really want to play Animal Crossing on the 3DS today. That game is finished. And an entire other country has played it.
What platform that game was for?
Well, I knew it was coming for the 3DS. I thought that one wasn't out yet. I honestly thought that one wasn't out yet, and those would be available all at the same time. So that even annoyed me even more.
I think what Wombat's saying is, why not take advantage of a worldwide launch when you have, you know, we're in a global society now. People are all connected via the internet. Yeah, they know what's going on. Might as well.
I just don't think there's that many good translators out there.
Cheapy,
there's a reason why 8.4 is like done so well. It's because they're good at it.
Maybe it is something that should be outsourced. Localization.
They are outsourcing it. 8.4 is an outsourced group.
Well, I mean, like, look in other countries. As Cheapy said, it's a worldwide community now. You don't have to be in Tokyo to
localize. You're saying they should have a room full of Indian guys translating it?
That's what you basically just said, yeah.
You know what? Is it going to be a room full of Indian guys or a room full of Japanese guys? It's still not a room full of American guys. But
It is at 8.4.
It is at 8.4. But if they're busy and can't handle that workload, they're not losing work. We should wait for every game? Because, I mean, they're great guys, don't get me wrong. But we have to wait for every game to be translated so the five guys that are friends with Cheapy could do it?
Well, no. I mean, Axis has guys in-house to do it as well. I mean, there's companies that do it, but you can definitely tell the ones that do it better than others.
It doesn't seem to be a priority, is I think what we have seen.
And it should be. It should be a priority. It should be a top priority. And the fact that Iwata is now the CEO of Nintendo and in of America doesn't make me feel any better about it.
Why is what was the reason for that to happen? I haven't read. I just saw the headline, but there's obviously some reason.
A restructuring. That's all they said.
Who was the CEO before, or was there none?
He retired.
There was another Japanese guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he retired.
Oh, okay.
No, he's going back to Japan to have a different post in Japan.
Oh, so that someone retired. That's what I read. Someone.
He's going to work in the labor camps in Japan. I mean,
he's going to start translating. That's why they had him work for Nintendo of America for a few years to learn the language better so he could start translating.
Right. All right. What else we got here?
Big Sick has to say, Wombat, why does a person need to like DC? You acted like Shipwreck had to like DC and that it was the weirdest thing in the world that he didn't, how he wished it would have been Mortal Kombat. I'm in the same boat. I don't like DC whatsoever. What's the point of unrelatable characters that do nothing for me? Yes, Superman is the lamest superhero in the world, and that can only be hurt by one thing, which is on another planet.
Right. Well, we're going to talk about Injustice. Every time that Mrs. Cheapy walked in the room when I was playing Injustice and Superman was fighting, she was like, well, nobody can beat Superman. So what's the point of this game? Whoops.
Every time Mrs. Shipwreck walked in the room and I was playing that, she asked, why don't we play Borderlands?
That's because she wanted to play a game with you. I think that's a very different situation.
Well, she also, it's not a very interesting game for somebody to sit there and watch.
Unless you're my wife.
Anytime somebody comes on screen.
I'm going to disagree with you because my wife was very interested in sitting and watching the game.
The story.
She kind of got into the cutscenes, and she really liked the movements of the characters and all the stuff they were able to do. She was kind of into it.
This was literally the quote that my wife had. I was fighting as Aquaman in Injustice, which he's really overpowered, it seems like.
Yeah, he's pretty badass in this game.
But I do a special move, and it brings the shark out, and the shark eats whoever you're fighting against. And she was like, that would have been a pretty cool fatality. Why isn't that guy dead? And
because it's a video game.
Well, yeah, but she recognizes that it would, like, she would have preferred it to be Mortal Kombat 2, and she doesn't even play that type of game.
Well, you know, that's why you guys are married, and that's why I married my wife.
Well, that's what it is. Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's pretty much why I'm not married to Wombat.
Then what would your child?
Sadly, that's the only reason why he's not married to Wombat.
It's pretty much just this whole DC rift that we have.
it's always
the main reason.
I don't know. I think if you watch Justice League, you would like DC better.
I know.
I don't think I would.
I don't think the characters are unrelatable. And I, you know what? There are times when I really love Superman, and there are times when I'm like, this isn't. You know what's funny? I was not a fan of Superman the animated series so much, but Superman and Justice League I like a lot. Don't know why that is. I guess to each their own. But I like Superman and Superman and the Elite also. I thought that was a pretty good Superman too.
There's a new Superman movie that just came out.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I haven't seen the movie, but
it's just for purchase.
But yeah, I mean, you know. I think there are DC characters that you would probably like. And do we want to just go right into talking about Injustice? Because I could do that.
Can.
Sure.
Sure. Why not? Whatever. Screw the rules. I don't need rules. You know, what things that I really liked about the game, I know I was very down on it. And I think what had me down on it was, and we've, you know, something that we've talked about before, it's a bad demo.
What?
I think it's a bad demo. I think the demo they had was bad.
Why?
Two reasons. One is alternate dimension Batman's costume is pretty good. The other one that you get just for, you know, for playing the game, playing the story mode.
Is the worst ever.
I kind of like the other costume. Oh, the story was terrible?
No. I'm saying the costume, the standard costume.
Yeah, the one that they had in the demo is a terrible Batman costume. The other one isn't so bad. It doesn't bother me nearly as much. The kind of the gray and black one.
Right. And I got the free Arkham City stuff.
Yeah, I got the Arkham City costume also, which is kind of led me to wanting to pick it up also. The Arkham City costume looks great in when you play the story mode as Batman.
So the costumes, that was Is there other reasons that the demo was not good?
You know, it just kind of fell flat to me. I wish I could put my finger on it a little more. It's just something about the demo where I was like, it didn't engage me like the, you know, maybe it didn't engage me the way the game did when I started playing it. And, you know, when it did click, I just kind of got into the game and I played through that story mode. I finished the story mode in like 2.5 days.
They should have, the demo maybe should have been, well, maybe the story mode. I don't know. People want to play it. Versus,
yeah, I know. It's like I wish I could put my finger on it a little better, but there was something about that demo that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Maybe it was those terrible costumes. Every character has at least two costumes. There's a couple of characters with three in the game, and one costume tends to be awful, and the other costume tends to be all right.
I'm not a big fan of the art in the game.
Yeah, some of it is just some of it's kind of weird. Like Superman's face, I think it's a little weird.
Yeah, I think that most of the characters look a little off, or the costumes look off. There's like too much lighting on the costumes. Like
Flash's costume, the one in the just so you know, here's how they, you know, I'll give the brief synopsis of the story mode without ruining it. Essentially, there's two dimensions. So there's two versions of every character, which would explain why Batman would fight Superman. Easy enough.
And why Batman can fight Batman.
Exactly. So that's without giving away too much. And that's also why everyone has two costumes. And yeah, the alternate dimension Flash costume is the worst Flash costume I've ever seen in my entire life.
It looks like one of those like Hondas that you take to, you know, you add like $5,000 worth of plastic parts and lighting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly.
It's the superhero version of that.
It's terrible. I don't like the alternate costume for Black Adam. I didn't like the alternate costume. Even Sinestro, where all they did was add a helmet. It just looks dumb.
And I don't like Shazam with his hood
with
on.
The hood.
What the
I don't
hell?
Like
Why
Shazam
I
with
take
the
hood off.
Yeah, no, cuz that's the way he looks now in the comics. They gave him the hood.
Well, take it off. But yeah, didn't he have the hood before, but it was just not on? Or no?
I don't think he had the hood. He just used to have the short white cape,
right,
with the gold embroiderment on it. But I like the classic Captain Marvel costume actually a lot. I kind of like the big red cheese.
Can we all agree that the best part of the game is Cyborg when he wins a round and shoots the missile in the air and says booyah?
That's what he says in the said in the Teen Titans cartoon. They got a lot of good voices.
My favorite quote was, I believe it was Green Lantern that said, "You are evil and a racist."
Who did he say that to?
Sinestro.
Why is he a racist? He doesn't like humans?
I don't know. I think it was Sinestro. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Sinestro. Yeah,
they got
like humans.
Adam Baldwin is the voice of from Chuck and Firefly. Mm-hmm. He's the voice of Green Lantern. But he said
that line with a lot of gumption.
Yes. And he looks like Bruce Campbell. At least he does, right?
The Green Lantern one's not bad, actually.
No, because it's such a simple.
He's actually
costume.
Fun to fight with. He reminds me of Mortal Kombat style. Like,
I think Green Arrow does too.
I haven't gotten to Green Arrow yet. I'm not through the game yet because I haven't had much time to
gotcha.
Play it.
And they got they have the TV Green Arrow is the voice of Green Arrow in the game.
We need the skin. How do you get the skins?
I know, and it is available. The Arrow skin is something I kind of want to like tweet at the guy and be like, "How do I get your skin in the game?" Because
on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm like, "How do I get your skin in the game, jerk?"
See, right. I think you should ask him how you can get his skin.
How can I get your skin?
I want your skin
because that is an unlockable skin. I don't know how to get it though.
It puts the lotion in the basket.
Exactly. There's so many. That is still the most annoying thing is that there are. I know there are like five costumes for everyone, but
and
we just can't
get them.
They won't just give it to you. Even if I had to play through all the stupid Star Lab missions to get the skins, that at least would be a fun thing to do.
Some of those are hard. I'm already.
Some of them stuck. Are really hard.
Is that basically like the ladder?
Yeah.
Yes.
Thing that was
yeah,
the last Mortal
yeah,
Kombat?
Yeah. It's the ladder for Mortal Kombat. It's the same thing.
Is there a crypt in this game?
There is. It's like you go to like a computer thing and you can unlock the second costumes for everyone. a bunch of extra modes for the not the story mode, but the classic, the arcade mode. You could unlock a whole bunch of
I didn't know that this existed.
And you could also unlock like you know how you could set up like your little profile for when you play online. You could unlock new backgrounds
that
and
I found
picture cards, and you could also unlock concept art. Which I unlocked the Batman concept art. They had some good ideas. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened along the way. They had some good ideas for Batman.
It's very Mortal Kombat stylized. Like,
yeah.
Mortal Kombat's always had questionable, like, costumes. It's kind of the, I don't know, like, B-level charm of how the characters look.
Yeah.
And so I think that combined with these iconic characters that you guys love is what throws it off a little bit.
Yeah.
It definitely does. I mean, there are certain things, and that's what's so funny is for every bad costume, they do something else that makes me go, oh my God, these people know DC better than I know DC. You know, they have a lot of stuff going on in the backgrounds of the levels. And there are a lot of call outs and shout outs to characters that maybe 8 people know who they are. Like there's a level where in the background you could see a Dr. Midnight costume hanging up. And that's one of my favorite superhero costumes ever. But the fact that it's in a video game, even if you can't play as Dr. Midnight, the fact that there's a Dr. Midnight costume was enough for me to go, oh crap, Dr. Midnight. And another one that I'll throw out there without spoiling too much is the Atom Smasher is in the background.
I saw him fighting Giganta.
Yeah, exactly. Atom Smasher fighting Giganta in the background blew my mind.
But I thought you were complaining that they didn't have enough like secrets like that.
I think, there's tons of them, but I would love there to be more.
Oh, okay.
There's tons of them though. There's a lot. I didn't complain that there wasn't enough. I think the fact that they have what they have in there is impressive.
Gotcha.
I just, you know, here's my other qualm with the game. Once, you know, I finish the story mode and I'll play through and get some of the, on the arcade mode and get the other endings. And, you know, and which I'll do, and I'll enjoy it, and I'm not going to complain while I do it, and I'm, you know, glad to be able to do it, but I don't think I have any interest in getting the other characters. Because right. I think by the time I play through the story mode with the 25 characters that are in the game, I don't think I'm going to have any interest to play as Lobo.
Those characters are for the people that play online against other people.
Yeah, exactly, and I'm not that person, so I have no interest in the... Although if they don't make Gorilla Grodd one of the characters, I'm going to be very surprised and disappointed.
Or Martian Manhunter.
Yep, he shows up.
No, I mean as a DLC character.
Mm-hmm.
We need him.
If I had to guess, I would say Martian Manhunter and Gorilla Grodd would be two of them.
Yeah.
And then probably a female character, right? Isn't that kind of how they roll? Like it's usually at least one female?
Cheetah lady.
Yeah, Chitara. Cheetah? No, just Cheetah. Chitara's
Cheetah. Yeah.
Yeah. Cheetah, Chitara's Thundercats.
Right. I'd be interested if they got Chitara in there.
Yeah. What they should do is unlock Super Friend costumes.
They need better outfits, for sure.
Yeah. Yes. They all need better outfits. They need, like, classic out. Just call them classic. Classic
outfits. Who does Cheetah fight against?
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman.
She's a Wonder Woman character?
Yes.
Okay.
I like how Cheapy and I both knew that right away.
Well, I saw Justice League Doom.
Well, there was only two answers to that, really. It was either she was a Flash villain or Wonder Woman.
Gorilla Grodd, I think, leans towards Flash. He's a Flash villain.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, should we do a quick watch this, bitches? I watched Django Unchained, finally. Did you guys see that, either of you guys?
Nope.
No?
I want to, but my wife has no interest in seeing it, so...
Oh, it was pretty entertaining. It was good. I don't know. It's not my favorite Quentin Tarantino movie, but I'd say
what is?
I'd say it's better than Inglourious Basterds, but not as good as Kill Bill.
Okay.
Well, maybe it's sure? Yeah. I'd say yeah, somewhere below Kill Bill.
It's no Jackie Brown.
I like Jackie Brown better.
Okay.
Let's do the new releases that we haven't touched on. Yet.
Have we touched on any of them?
Well, we touched on... Oh, no. Injustice was last week.
It was last week.
So this week, Chibi and I have both been playing Dead Island Riptide, which I put a review up for.
I heard it's terrible.
It's not. It's crazy. Like, these bad reviews for it, like the really bad ones, like, I'm okay. Like, I can see like a 6 or whatever. Like, somebody just wasn't into it.
Mm-hmm.
But these, like, I don't know, that like the 2 out of 5s or 4 out of 10s for this game, it's just absurd.
Yeah, let's see. Giant Bomb gave it a 2.
Giant Bomb gave it a 2, and I think GameSpot gave it a 4, which it's the same company now, right?
Yes.
So,
and Edge gave it a 3.
It's just ludicrous.
I mean, from what I played, it seemed, you know, it's pretty much the same as the first game. And
it's almost exactly the same, yes. Yeah. Which I understand if that's your complaint. It's perfectly valid. It's the same mechanics. It's a similar look. You're playing in a jungle themed island. So it doesn't have the tropical like resort setting to it this time. It's a less touristy island that they're on.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the jungle area, and then you have like a kind of like a Mediterranean city type of area as well, the two main areas. But I find it fun. Like, it's fun to just go around and screw around with these zombies and get some loot. And I don't know. It's like the co-op works really well too. Like, we played some of that together.
Yep, it was very smooth. Played on PC. I never finished the first game, but it seemed pretty much just like the first game. And it looked good. Looked good on my PC. I don't know.
I don't know why people give
such a bad review. I think maybe reviewers are tired and they don't want to play the same game they played before.
They don't. Yeah, I think that's part of it, is that the way that this was presented is a little bit weird, because it definitely feels like it could be an expansion for Dead Island, just because it's pretty much the same game engine and everything.
Didn't they release it at a lower price?
Slightly
lower price. It's $40 on PC and $50 on the consoles.
Interesting as well.
I think maybe the pricing, maybe the reviewers didn't like the pricing model. Maybe if it was an add-on, it would have gotten better.
There's always some jank in these type of games, open world games. But it didn't have nearly as many technical issues for me this time around as it did the last time. But I like, there's nothing quite like Dead Island out there either. There's no, like, it's basically an Oblivion with zombies that you can play co-op.
Right.
Like, that's kind of what the idea of Dead Island is.
And it's far less annoying than Dead Rising. I think we can all agree.
It doesn't have the strict rules,
right,
that a Dead Rising has. But if you liked the first one, don't worry about the negative reviews that this has gotten.
Right. It's not because it's broken. It's just
pretty
much the same as the first game. And I guess reviewers didn't like that.
Yeah, they do. They added another character that you can play as, and there's one new zombie type. But other than that, yeah, it's the same game. I like it.
Right.
What else?
Basically, if you've never played the first one, you'll probably like this one a lot more.
Yeah, but you get the first one, Game of the Year edition, for $20.
Super cheap.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of game too, that first one.
Yeah.
All right, what else we got this week?
I got in Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen.
Yeah.
Which I didn't quite understand what this was. I kept on seeing it, but it's like the first game again is in there, but it's been like, has all the patches and like adjustments to make it, I don't know, better than it was the first time.
But here's the thing. Do we know if the patch is available on the first game without either buying this downloadable content or buying this new game?
I don't know.
I do not know. I just know that this has new content in there as well. And it's $40. And they sent it to me a day before it came out. And I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it other than play it at some point.
Right. All right.
But
look forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck. Yeah.
Then we got another new game that came out this week that someone on this show has Star been Trek. Playing.
Well,
and it's called Star Trek the video game.
Right. I bought the PC version because there's a 20% off coupon at Green Man Gaming and I had some credit. So I spent $37 on it. Which
$37 too much.
Yeah, it's fucking horrible. I mean, I played, let's put it this way. It's a co-op, you know, Spock and Kirk.
Kirk. His name is Kirk.
I know. And third person shooter game. The game is so bad that even in the first 30 minutes of the game, you're not even really shooting anything. There's like a very brief shooting sequence to start the game off. I guess it's like a training simulation. I mean, I don't even know. I couldn't even tell what was happening. It's fucking horrible. It made me just, I played it on Twitch yesterday live. And it was just so bad, we just quit after a while, and we played the Star Trek 25th Anniversary game, which is now Abandonware. So you can download that for free, I guess. Well, I did, so I guess you can. And that game's awesome. So I definitely recommend the free Star Trek 25th Anniversary Abandonware game. Do not recommend Star Trek the video game. It's not good at any price. I mean, it's fucking horrible. It has the music from the movie.
That's not enough. That is not enough.
No, it's bad. I don't want to play it anymore.
Okay.
Anything I want to uninstall it.
What else we got?
I played through, I've actually written a review, it's just not up on the site yet, for Lego City Undercover, The Chase Begins on 3DS.
Okay.
This is a different game than what I played on the Wii U. It takes place before the Wii U version. Or the story that was in the Wii U.
So it's a prequel to the in-depth story that was Lego City Undercover on the Wii U.
Yes. There's a story. It's fine. The Wii U version I really liked. The 3DS version is not so hot. It takes place in the same environments that you played in already in the Wii U version. But everything's kind of like scaled back a lot. The like pop in and draw distance is really bad. Like the great thing about the Wii U version is like you can just see like all of this stuff that you can interact with. Like it's just so densely populated with like, oh, there's something I can go grab over there, or I wonder if I climb up that pipe where it goes, or there's a pig, I'm gonna go put that in a cannon.
Of course.
Yeah. Which the 3DS version has pigs that you can put in cannons. But you won't see the pigs until you're a few feet from them because they won't pop in. So it's weird. Like they took away all of the traditional Lego levels that like, you know, you go through and you build up your Jedi meter or whatever and you find all the little secrets and do all that stuff. That's like completely removed from this. So it's just all open world in the 3DS version.
It's too bad because I saw the commercial on Hulu and it looked kind of interesting.
Yeah, the shame is that people are probably that don't have a Wii U think that they're going to be able to get their Lego City fix
right
with this 3DS version. And it just
– it's not.
It's okay. Like it for kids, it's fine. But it's just nowhere near the quality of what the Wii U experience is.
It needs to be on Vita.
Or it's something because this also – it has like terrible load times – as well, and that like you have to load every time you leave like a section of the city, it has to load the next one, and I don't know, I just didn't enjoy it all that much. It took me like 7 hours to play through the main story, and I only got like 30% completion because it's just not that fun to go around and get the collectibles when they're just always popping up in front of you, like materializing before your eyes. You're like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'll hit this switch with the fireman because I need to get that cat down.
Right.
It's not just not that intriguing.
Right. All right. Well, that's disappointing. I thought I might have to charge my 3DS for a second.
But it's no, safe. Just you're better off just waiting for like until you get a Wii U and then get the Wii U version because the Wii U version is really good.
Yep. That's going to happen at some point in the distant, distant future.
I've been playing a little bit of Black Rock Shooter too on the Vita.
Okay, what's that?
It's a PSP game where you play. There's only like a dozen humans left on Earth.
There are, and I'm one of. We're one of them. Three of them.
You play as a like I don't know. She's probably around 13 years old. and you play, she's like a human weapon that carries around this big gun.
Hmm.
And she's dressed really provocatively, of course.
Oh, good. She's a slutty 13-year-old with a giant weapon.
Yeah. Like, well, I don't know if she's slutty or it comes off as like this is like this super innocent girl. And it gives you creepy vibes because the only other 12 humans you see are like middle-aged or like 20-year-old to like 50-year-old dudes.
Mm.
Or the other dozen people that are alive. And you're just thinking,
Humanity is doomed.
Yeah.
These guys are not going to be able to repopulate humanity.
Well, if they are, it's going to involve this 13-year-old girl.
Right.
And it's, I don't know. That gave me a little bit of the creeps.
The willies.
Yeah. But the game itself, you're fighting off robot insects as they are trying to destroy the Earth. And the shooting mechanics are kind of like, it's got like a lock-on mechanic. So it's very basic in that regard. It's like a 3D, like behind her back is where the camera is. And you can like shoot and then you have like a dodge, like roll move. It seems all right. It's just, I don't know. I'm a little concerned about the guys saying stuff to this young girl.
Right. They shouldn't even be talking to her.
Like, that's fine. If that's your thing, it just it creeps me out a little bit.
That's fine if it's your thing.
If that's your thing.
Games like that. Yeah, if that's your thing. Right.
Not that there's anything wrong with it. But there is something wrong with that.
There is something wrong.
But maybe it was very innocent and I'm just taking it in the wrong
way. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure that's it.
Right up underneath her bikini.
She's 13 with a tattoo.
I can't tell her exact age, but she just...
I'm going to say if she has a tattoo, then she must be at least 18. So what, if you have to have... There are plenty of women out there who just don't have large chests that
I know,
are not 13.
I guess that's...
Especially in Japan.
She looks young. They call her kid.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe
call her jailbait.
Maybe she just has good genes. She could be 40.
Right. You know, Japanese women do look a lot younger.
There you go. Cheapy's wife is 75 years old.
Right.
Yeah. All the dudes in the game are like from different ethnic backgrounds. So there's a black guy that talks like he's a DJ.
Yeah.
So he's
Cheapy, why don't you do your black guy voice for everybody?
Yo, honey baby, why
I was
you
kidding.
Bend over
I was,
and spread them
kidding.
Honey cakes for me?
I was kidding. That was a joke. Oh. Please don't do that.
Oh, I've been playing some Poker Night 2. Did you guys try that out?
I played one round of Poker Night 2, and I did not do very well, but I gave it a shot. Didn't have much time. It is fun. It's cool. It's poker. You know what was funny is I had seen the trailer, so I knew who was in it. But by the time I had actually started to play the game, 2 weeks later or so, I forgot. And I forgot that Ash from Evil Dead was in the game, and I got unnecessarily excited when he first pops up.
You made him lose all his money.
No, he took all of my money, but still, it was kind of cool. It was like, oh yeah, and Ash is in this game, and it made me very happy.
I defeated Ash and got the Necronomicon.
Nice.
For my avatar.
Really?
Yeah, so my avatar has a Necronomicon now.
See, I need
to
play more.
Along with that, I got the Evil Ash skin for the Commando in Borderlands 2.
Very nice. See, I need to play more of the... Not that I won't play more of it, but I need to... I only had a half hour to play it.
It's very funny, especially like since I'm very familiar with all of the characters that are in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have very specific conversations about stuff.
Yeah, no, it's definitely cool. The characters, in case you don't know, are Brock Sampson from the Venture Brothers, which is amazing. They have Claptrap from Borderlands, also pretty cool. They have Ash from Evil Dead, very amazing. And they also have Sam from Sam and Max, which is also kind of cool. Not a huge Sam and Max fan.
And GLaDOS is the dealer.
And GLaDOS is the dealer, which is also pretty awesome. So, I'm not complaining about, I'm well-versed in 4 of the 5 characters. So, yeah.
That's all the characters?
Yeah. Yeah, and you play poker against them. You're playing poker against Brock Sampson. That to me is worth $5.
Right. Is it 5 or 10?
I thought it was 5. Is it 5?
I think it's 5 on PC. It might be 10 on consoles.
Okay. You told me 5. That's where I got
Why are you lying?
I got
well,
it.
I know. I saw the price on PC was $5, but I think it's $10 on consoles. Maybe either okay. way, it's worth it, especially if you're a Borderlands 2 fanatic.
Oh, it's coming out for iOS as well at some point.
Okay. Yeah. The music in the background too. If you listen to it, they're like jazzy or lounge versions of songs from the games.
Very cool.
So there's like a jazz version of "Ain't No Rest for the Wicked."
Very, that's cool. I'll have to listen. I'll have to. Well, again, I only played one, like three hands, so it looks really cool.
A little bit,
yes.
It's a little bit jumpy, though.
Yeah.
Like it's, I don't know. Like it almost locked up on me one time.
You the PC version.
Well, we have some Xbox 360 versions to give away. At least three. At least three.
Wow.
So if you would like to play this game yourself, all you need to do on the Xbox 360, yes, I need to be abundantly clear. We have at least three to give away for the Xbox 360. If you would like to play this game yourself, all you need to do is post something constructive and important in the show feedback thread.
Wombat will judge which is important enough to win the award.
Pretty much. So good luck, everybody.
All right.
Yeah.
I also played some Don't Starve, which came out for PC.
Yeah, I don't even know what kind of game this is, but I've heard good things about it.
Okay, it's a game like you play as this little, almost like Edgar Allan Poe looking guy. And you're dropped off in this forest, and it's all point and click based. And so you have, the goal is to, I don't know, don't starve, I guess is what you're trying to do, survive. So you go around and you can click on like grass or carrots or various things in the environment and pick them up. And then it's got almost like a Minecraft crafting system. So if you get so many twigs and so many like flint stones, you can make an axe that then you can cut down trees to make logs, to make a fire for night. Or you can build like a trap and put it like a carrot in it and lure a rabbit in there. Which I did that, and then you brings up a prompt once you get the trap, and it just says like murder rabbit.
And murder? So, I don't consider that murder.
Well, that's what the game says, though. Yeah. So I ate a rabbit. I fought some spiders. It seems like it's an interesting little concept. It has a day night cycle though that kind of turns me off because it makes me play faster than what I want to.
Oh, because you don't want to be out at night.
Right, because, well, I don't know what happens, but it just like told me that I need to build a fire. And so I was all concerned with getting enough materials to build a fire rather than killing more rabbits.
I'll have to check this one out. Don't Starve.
Don't Starve.
I'll try not to.
Yeah, you'll
say it. No, go for it. I see. Thanks for not going with the fat joke.
We just kept them to ourselves. We went with it.
Yeah.
In our mind.
Okay, just checking.
Cairo, actually, the game K-A-I-R-O came out for Steam this week as well. I know I played that before and I really liked it. It was the kind of abstract first person walk around and kind of solve puzzles type of game. Very weird, very atmospheric. I think it was on sale for like $6 right now. So I would recommend getting that while it's on sale. You should try that, Chibi.
Cairo, I did try it a while ago. It was pretty trippy. But I don't know. Yeah, I can go back, give it a shot. But did you try Surgeon Simulator 2003?
I did.
You did?
I couldn't get the heart out. Like I did everything so well. And then I couldn't get the heart out.
You have to cut the veins or whatever, arteries.
I was trying to cut. The problem was I dropped the green juice. The little medicine. I had dropped that pretty early in the procedure, so there was like no going back.
Right. You need that because otherwise he's going to bleed out.
Explain this game though.
So Surgeon Simulator. This was an indie game. This was, I think, a game that one or two guys made for like some very quick indie competition, like where you had to make a game in a day or two. And then I guess people liked it enough that they made a more complete version and they released it on Steam. And I don't know, I think it was $7 I paid for it. But the thing about this game is you just control one hand of a surgeon, and the whole game is in this third person mode or first person mode where you just see your hand and you control each one of your fingers using the keyboard. And the mouse, you use the mouse to control like the wrist and whether the hand goes up and down. So it's, you're doing the surgery on people, you know, and there's a, all your tools are laid out and you have to pick up the tools and then, you know, cut open the rib cage and
but pull. it doesn't tell you anything.
Right. There's no instructions at all in terms of what you need to do to to complete the procedure. So you have to sort of figure it out. And it's, the game is just hilarious because.
Did you ever perform surgery successfully?
Yes, I did it live on twitch.tv/gbazgamer.
I never got to see you do it successfully.
It took me several tries, and I had people, you know, in the chat room telling me what to do, which was pretty important.
I think that would have been helpful. I watched you do a failure, and I almost threw up. So
it's but the game is hilarious, though. I mean, you're knocking stuff over. You're knocking clock radios into the guy's chest cavity.
It's as if Inspector Clouseau became Dr. Clouseau.
It was hilarious. I mean, I had a great... I mean, there's even like the main menu, you're sitting at a desk in a hospital and you just see your hand and the phone rings.
It took me 10 minutes to swap out the floppy disk in the computer, but I finally did it.
Yeah, yeah. You can do that. I mean, it's really fun. It's totally worth your time and your... you know, $5 to $10, whatever it costs. Yeah, it's hilarious. People told me they were just dying laughing watching me play it on Twitch. So, and I was too. So I know they weren't lying. What else we got here? Multi-platforming. Do we do all this? Wombat's news and stuff?
Sure.
Wait, are we going to talk about
Cheapy Awards.
Wombat's News and Stuff. The Cheapy Awards.
Yes, let's remind everybody that you have to vote for the Cheapy Awards now. Time is running out. You can win one of two $500 Amazon gift cards just by voting in the Cheapy Awards.
And even me?
Sure.
It's so full of shit.
Why? If you win, you can win. Your odds aren't great. I'm willing to take the chance, Wombat, that you're not going to win.
It's okay. It's okay. I don't want to vote anyway.
The more categories you vote in, the greater your chance of winning. Just if you go to the front page of Cheapass Gamer, you can hopefully find out where to vote. Not you, Wombat. Don't look.
I won't.
But yeah, so you only have a couple days left to get your vote in there. What do we got in Wombat's news and stuff?
Did you see this? This seems to be the thing that people seem to be talking about today. Okay, that it started with an article on Kotaku by Jason Schreier. Schreier about the game Dragon's Crown, which is a Vanillaware game. And there is a character in the game that I believe is called the Sorcerer. Sorcerer?
Hmm. Sorceress.
Sorceress? Well, you know, yes. You never know. And it's funny because I watched the trailer. I actually watched a handful of trailers for this game. And
the game looks good. It looks like something I will have fun playing. It's like a spiritual successor to like Princess Crown, that type of game.
Sure. It does. It actually does look like it would be fun to play. I'll leave it. You know, it's, what is it, like an isometric brawler kind of thing? Hack and slash?
I'm watching the video right now.
Like an isometric hack and slash? Is that an appropriate?
Kind of. It's, do you remember, I forget what the other Vanillaware game was on PS2. Late in the PS2 cycle. A little bit like Grim Grimoire or...
Very Japanesey, but still kind of gauntlety.
Odin Sphere. Odin Sphere is what I'm thinking of. It's like Odin Sphere.
Sure. So, you know, and this character, I'll be the first to admit, she is definitely over the top.
Chesty is what the word you're looking for.
Yes, but like ridiculous. It's a little ridiculous, and it's very much a caricature, and it's very much not for children.
Her tits are bigger than her head. Let's put it that way.
Yes, yes.
Each one is bigger than her head, and they move a lot while she's fighting. I just watched the video. They're constantly heaving up and down.
Yes, And I can understand why someone would, but I can honestly understand why someone would feel uncomfortable playing that game with that character in front of other people. Right? Yes?
Yeah, sure.
Sure. Yeah, I get it. So Jason Schreier made a brief post on Kotaku about it, saying that game developers really need to stop letting teenage boys design their characters, which is a nice, cute comment. Yeah, it's funny. Funny enough. Whatever.
Somewhat. I don't find it that funny, but
it's not that. The artist who drew the character responded on his Facebook, and I don't have the quote in front of me, but basically he said, he replied by showing a picture of half-naked men that he had drawn and implied that Jason Schreier might appreciate that picture more.
Which there are characters like that in the game as well.
Yes, but he was also implying that if he doesn't like women with big breasts, he must be gay. So...
Right.
Also not probably the best response to that.
Right. Well, you got one guy calling somebody a 14-year-old and another guy calling another guy gay. It's it's the mature environment that games live in.
Yes, this has been a very mature thing that happened. So
right. The guy totally removed any, doubt.
Yeah. Although I guess it did all end up with, I think pretty much everyone has apologized in one way or another at this point.
But there's still big boobs in the game. And
there are still big boobs.
An article up on Kotaku calling this guy a 14-year-old.
And of course, and there is also a nice long article that Ben Kachar wrote about this on Penny Arcade Report, where, he says it's not that it's offensive because of the way it looks. It's offensive because we've seen this so many times before. Which, honestly, I don't think I've ever seen a character like this in a game ever. And I've played Dead or Alive.
So big and moving around so much. You mean?
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Dumb. I would be embarrassed to play that game in front of somebody.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. I couldn't let someone see that. No. No. And it is definitely not, I wouldn't call it respectful.
Respectful. It doesn't have to be respectful.
It's not even, it's beyond respectful. It's just sort of dumb.
It's almost like it's like this weird hybrid R. Crumb meets Japanese animation. It's so strange.
Well, in Japan, people are down with this kind of thing. There's nudity in the newspapers and stuff. Like there's ads, sexually explicit ads in the newspapers. So you'll be on the subway and you'll see, some guy reading the newspaper, and there'll just be some topless chick, picture of a topless chick right there. And people just don't care here.
But I don't even find that, it's not even, hey, this is like a super sexualized woman in this game. It's just, it's a ridiculous looking character. There's nothing sexy about it.
Bad is what it is.
It's just weird. I mean, he mentions it, Ben Kachar does mention in his article that it's, how obvious, boring, and overdone they've become since the 70s, which, I do see that it does look highly stylized and very much influenced by Ralph Bakshi and R. Crumb, which, honestly, if that's what they're going for, I've never seen that in a game before, and I think it's interesting, but again, it's not a game I would play.
There's been similar style of characters in Vanillaware and other Japanese style games that you guys don't really play too much. I mean, if you look at Booby Lady from the Blaze Blue series, she's pretty ridiculous.
She's pretty chesty as well.
Yeah.
Does this sorceress use her breasts to cast magic at all? Do they do anything except just bounce up and down?
I think they just bounce around a lot.
Because that would be original.
Yes, it would.
Lightning shoots out of her nipples or something.
That's kind of wacky.
Or they get even bigger and then they become weapons. why not go the whole distance?
Why not go whole hog?
Right.
I don't know.
She can shoot. Yeah, she can shoot lasers.
Well,
out of
it seems
her.
Like there's that weird. It's okay to go so far, but not like it's the whole thing like we were talking about earlier with the 13-year-old looking girl. It's just. They're never going to go all the way to where it's outright pedophilia, but it's just going to like kind of put it out there and have people kind of have their own thoughts on it.
Yeah, but I wouldn't let my children see that game.
Well, this game isn't for children.
Yeah, that's just it. Yes. Although I did let Sabrina see Injustice because she likes superheroes.
Right.
She went to school the next day and told her teacher that she wants to be Harley Quinn.
Great.
Exactly. Father great, of the year right model. Here. I know.
I'll tell you, this Dragon's Clown. Dragon's Clown.
Crown.
Yeah. Post on Kotaku got a lot of views.
I'm sure. I'm sure it did. It's been everywhere today, all over the Twitterverse. Well, Twitterverse.
This is what happens when I'm sleeping. I'm sorry I missed all the excitement.
Eh, but I wouldn't say
great PR for the game.
Mm-hmm. I never heard of this game until today.
Yeah. Now I know. Right. I wrote it down.
It was on my radar because I'm going to play it.
Yeah.
But yeah, most mainstream gamers would have no idea what Dragon's Crown was.
Right. Now they know it's a game with the big tits.
Mm-hmm.
And people maybe will buy it for that reason. No doubt in my mind.
I
see
there was some other like super big news while I was sleeping that Microsoft sent out invitations to the next gen Xbox event.
I got two.
I'm guessing you got zero.
Well, two is like zero.
It is?
Sure. It's, yeah. It's if two and zero are the same thing.
It's not.
Oh.
So, yeah. May 21st, it's going to be streaming live on Xbox Live and Spike TV and Xbox.com. And it's taking place in Seattle. Or in Redmond, rather.
Major Nelson says that's the date that they're going to give us a real taste of the future.
Delicious. Does it taste like Pizza Hut? Because I saw there's a Pizza Hut app. I don't know why you'd want to order your pizza with Kinect.
Well, but you know what? It's not so much that you would want to order your pizza with Kinect. Right, I just think it's just the fact that it's there is kind of crazy. A lot of people are like really hating on it, though. Like it's the worst thing. This is why the Xbox is terrible.
Just ignore it. That's what I'll be doing.
Because of an optional application that you have to download to use, and if you don't download to use it, your experience changes in no way whatsoever. You're right. This is terrible. I hate having options. How dare you, Xbox? How dare you?
How many pizzas have you ordered already?
None, because there are no Pizza Huts within like 30 miles of my house.
Which is good. That means you're living in the right spot.
Yeah, I couldn't order from a Pizza Hut if I wanted to, but I think it's cool that the app exists. Like I said, I posted this on Twitter earlier today. If I could go back in time to 1998 and tell someone, hey, you're going to be able to order a pizza from your video game console, that would have blown someone's mind.
Yeah, I don't know why people would hate on it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't get it. It's pretty cool. You could order a pizza from your console. You don't have to. You probably never will, but
I don't know if it's pretty cool. Fine with it. Okay.
I don't know. I'd install another app on my Xbox.
That's the problem. Is I don't have enough room to install these apps.
Well, you don't have to. I did install the CW app.
Where's Arrow? Where are the new Arrow episodes?
I think the next one's coming up. They just finished filming the rest of the season. So it's probably soon. So yeah. I don't know. But that's why I downloaded the CW app in case I miss an episode. I want to have Arrow on hand.
Right.
Yeah. That's a good show.
All right. So I guess we'll find out more about the Xbox then in late May. I still think they should. Well, I guess now they can talk about the games at E3. That's what people are saying.
Yeah. That press conference would be too long if they
have to do the hardware
announced
stuff.
Everything.
Right. Good point. All right. So things are progressing nicely. What else we got here? Motocross Mania. It was a game that I think Shit played and we were supposed to talk about last week, but didn't.
Yeah, that's it's another one of those Avatar games where it's a lot like that Joyride. Not the Kinect Joyride, but the Joyride that you actually played, GP.
Mm-hmm.
But it's on motorcycles. But it's
I played this at PAX last year.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, with Ty and I played this at PAX.
I think Ty would like it.
Yeah, he did like it.
Yeah, it's a fun little cute racing game where it's got that whole kind of open worldness to it where you can just drive around and like collect coins and stuff as well as the races. So,
yeah.
I don't know, check it out if you have like I think it'd be good for
kids.
Like a kids racing
game.
Yeah.
What else we got here?
I've been playing some Dragon Fantasy Book 1 that came out last week on Vita and PS3.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a couple hours for me to realize that this was the same game that I'd played on iOS before.
Oh, okay.
But it's better on Vita because it has buttons and everything.
Right.
But it's very much a 8-bit style RPG. The title itself is a play on Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy. And that is the style of game it is. You go in and you do turn-based battles against creatures that randomly pop up. There's a lot of grinding early on. It's well done. Like, if you're looking for a new 8-bit RPG, this is it.
Dragon Fantasy.
Everyone needs one of those.
Well, Book 2 is apparently a 16-bit, like based on a 16-bit. Mm. So they're like changing it as they go along.
Clever.
Excellent.
It's fine. It's fun.
Cool.
What else we got here? We talked about Iwata, right?
Yeah, let's jump ahead to add the iOS, because I got an early code for Robot Unicorn 2.
Hmm.
Yeah, it comes out. Actually, if you're listening to this show, it's out now, and it will be free. It's now has some microtransactions going on with it. The only
how does it compare to Sonic Dash?
It's better than Sonic Dash. It's definitely better than Sonic Dash. It's made all. It's now made by Pikpok, the people that made Monsters Ate My Condo. It has challenges similar to Jetpack Joyride. Also with upgrades similar to Jetpack Joyride. So they kind of mixed Robot Unicorn with Jetpack Joyride. It doesn't have the licensed music in the free version. So if you want to hear Eurasure, you have to pay a buck. There's 4 songs you could buy, I believe. They each cost
a
dollar.
Am I going to hear Erasure or Eurasure?
Eurasure.
Eraser?
Yes. No, Eurasure. Eurasure. Now,
Erasure.
Eurasia?
That's it. I'm done. I was going to break the chains of love, but forget it.
I'll give you a little bit of respect.
What else? Should we just do the keg bag and then we can move into our BioShock?
I was going to say, do we want to do a keg bag or do we just want to go right into it?
We can go right into it.
There's only 2 keg bag questions here, so.
Yeah.
Okay
let's go right into it.
I'm running away from home. My parents are mean. Where will you go? Oh, I'm not sure, but I'll show them.
That's right. You'll show them how mean you can be.
Shipwreck!
Isn't it better to try to solve problems instead of running away from them?
I could try talking to my parents again.
Yeah, tell them how you feel. And remember, running away
leads nowhere. Now I know. And knowing is half the battle. G.I. Joe!
So this is the spoiler BioShock discussion. So if you're listening now, you have been warned. There will be spoilers. So otherwise, the show is over, and you should stop listening. And we'll see you next week. But now, BioShock.
BioShock.
And why Wombat hates BioShock so much.
Hey, I'm not the only one.
Nobody hates it.
No one hates it. It's a very good game. It's an excellent game, and I thoroughly enjoyed playing this game. Right? You didn't?
No.
No. Well,
it got a little tedious for me. The problem is, there's too much story. The story is too much time warp shit in a story. I mean, that's like the kiss of death when you start doing time travel in your plot for your 15-hour video game.
Well, I don't know if there was time travel.
Why what?
Or I don't know if there was time travel.
There was.
Well, how did they get those songs from the future?
Well, no, I think it's. The way I interpreted it was
wrong.
Multiple universes that were just anachronistic. Like, they weren't happening at the same time.
Oh, is that what it is?
They weren't lined up time-wise.
Because, it's definitely unusual. And by unusual, I mean, it borrows heavily from DC Comics from the 80s and Fight Club
right.
And Ace Ventura Pet Detective. So...
He's into a pet detective?
Yeah, Finkel is Einhorn.
Yeah. No, it wasn't. Yeah, they're not. It's not really time travel ship. I guess you're right. It's there's these alternate dimensions and.
Well, at least I think I'm right on that. I read the plot.
I read the plot summary.
Okay. Because I don't think they ever traveled in time within the same universe.
They're going to different universes where there's just little differences between each of these different universes. Like there's one change that somebody made in their life and it starts a whole new version of that universe. I don't know. It's
the butterfly effect.
It's yeah, except there's multiple universes going on at the same. I don't know. It's all
The game ends with them going back in time, so there's definitely time travel.
Yeah, right.
So
I just didn't care. I didn't care about the characters.
Did it end with him going back in time? It's been a little while since I've played it.
Yeah, because it ends with him drowning himself at the baptism. Because the only way to stop Comstock is to stop himself from ever
And then it has the open-ended ending
where you hear the baby crying and, oh, maybe it's not all over or something. Because, you know,
something.
Oh, there's a baby crying. Maybe it isn't over.
I'm not so concerned, though, about like there being like holes in the plot or like stuff that was up in the air, because at least it's a video game story that makes you like discuss it. Like it's
OK.
It's not
fair
like,
enough.
Stories in video games are usually pretty bland. Like they're pretty by the book, or they're just
so bad, is that all it takes? That's all you need. As long as it's good enough to warrant discussion, then it's a success. Good or bad?
I think this game's a success, yeah.
I mean, it is not nearly... I still don't think the story... I think the story pales in comparison to the first one.
Oh, and definitely.
I think the story pales in comparison to... I would say Portal 2 is probably the best story of any game that I've ever played.
The gameplay also fails, I think.
I disagree there. I think the gameplay is a lot of fun, and I thought it was really good. I really like
it. You think it's better than BioShock 1?
The big daddies make it.
Yeah. I was thinking combat wise in BioShock 1, just the way that the game is structured, you have so many areas that like you can plan out traps better than in BioShock Infinite. BioShock Infinite, most of the traps are areas where you see tears and it's just like kind of handed over to you. Like this is how. Like, you're in this a big is an arena. Option here, this is an option. It doesn't go into, like, in BioShock 1, you could cause people to, like, catch on fire so they would run towards the water, and you could electrocute the water, and you could...
Yeah, I
could,
missed that. And it's funny.
The turrets and everything.
There was the occasional, and again, like you said, there'd be a tear where you could put water on the ground, and there was, like a couple of weird spots where there was oil on the ground, but it wasn't nearly as prevalent as it was in the first game where you can kind of use the environment to your advantage the same way in a natural sense, you know?
Yeah. It makes it even more gamey.
I'll give that to you too. And I think, yes, there was nothing like the Big Daddy. There were those dudes with the hearts.
The handyman. You
know, yeah. The handyman, which were kind of close, but not nearly as interesting.
They're not close because the best part about the Big Daddies were, you know, you just hear them in the background walking around.
Yeah, there was moaning. There's no sense of fear
and you could choose whether or not to fight them.
Right.
A lot of the times,
yep.
too.
Yep. It's a totally different feeling in the game, and I think this game went more for like story, and it's just.
And when it went for story, I mean, let's go right back to the beginning, you know, the turning point of the game, because I do think you spend a way too much time before the game actually starts walking around the town of Columbia, and which, you know, I'm glad I was nice to see the environment, and I get it. It's like Main Street Disney World. I've been there many times. I get it. Right. And then you win the lottery. And I thought that was very interesting, and I thought this was, this is what the game's going to be about, was my
racism, you mean?
Yeah.
Right.
You don't win a lottery, you win the opportunity to throw a ball at an interracial couple, or rock, whatever it is, right. And you get to make the decision. baseball, to throw the baseball at the couple, throw the baseball at the Barker, or do nothing. And I of course, threw the baseball at the Barker, which is when everything goes to shit. And then, but then I was like, well, okay, I don't mind killing all these people because they're all a bunch of horrible racists. And I'm doing the right thing.
Everybody must die.
Everyone must die for their hatred. But they got rid of that. But you don't
know. Some of those guys are just doing their job.
Are they? I mean, who moves to Columbia without knowing why they're moving to Columbia? I mean, it's not like you don't know it's a town full of racism. A town founded on racism.
Well, there's people born there.
Are there people born there? Yeah,
well,
there
are kids.
Children. Yeah, but you're not killing children. And
you're
they could
your parents.
Yeah, well, that's because their parents are racist and raising their children to be racist children. No one likes racist children. They need better parents.
All.
Exactly. I must kill them all. I must use my hook hand to remove their heads.
What did you think of the whole hook hand thing?
I like the hook hand. I like the hook hand better than the drill.
The sky hook? You like?
Yeah, I like the sky hook. I like it better than drill. I don't understand why they built all this track that goes around from Sky Island to Sky Island, but not one rail that goes down to an island on the ground. I don't understand that.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you would assume that there's all these like trams that go around, but there isn't a tram that could take you down to where, say, the lighthouse was, so you could hop off and get on a boat and go to the mainland.
That kind of would defeat their point of their civilization being detached from.
Yeah. Then why do they have the lighthouse? They still have the lighthouse. I mean, there's a difference between being detached from civilization and not having the access to go down there. What if they need medicine?
They don't need medicine. They have superpowers.
Yeah, exactly.
They can shoot crows out of their fingers.
They don't need Tylenol.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. You know what else kind of bothered me? And I'll bring this one up now, too. Let's say, you know what I have in my kitchen? In case there's a fire in my kitchen, I have a fire extinguisher. Mm-hmm. Now, the chances of there being a fire in my kitchen are probably, you know, not great, but I still have a fire extinguisher that works in my kitchen. If I lived on a fucking cloud, mm-hmm. You know what I'm going to have? Like in my front hall closet?
Parachute?
A parachute. A parachute and probably a raft.
I think you're getting a little bit too critical on some stuff here.
Saying the game could be over in 5 minutes?
The game should be over in 5 minutes, yes. I'm saying the first house he runs into, he should kick open the front hall closet. And there would be two parachutes, and then you jump off the nearest edge, and then game over. Congratulations. you saved the girl.
$200 million.
Exactly. You wiped away the...
Then the big the songbird would come grab you as you were parachuting down.
Ah!
Sure, until the girl starts to say, you know, oh, don't do it, I love you, or whatever.
No, she plays the song.
She plays the song, C-A-G-E. I know.
Do-do-do-do-do.
Because I guess that's the whole plot of the game then, isn't it? Getting the song.
Yeah.
Is that the whole story? I mean, that's really all you're doing is how do you stop the songbird and you don't fight the songbird? Because that's
the
game's
big daddy. This is not a good
game
to play after Tomb Raider, I've come to the conclusion. I think it really hurt my enjoyment of the game.
I enjoyed the game and I liked playing it. I think I liked it more than you two.
I got a little tired of it towards the end.
I preferred the racism plot. I thought it was more interesting and I was annoyed that they ditched it halfway through the game. And made
they didn't
the leader.
Ditch it.
They kind of
still
did.
There.
No,
no. It just turned out that both sides are bad.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
It's the story they were telling.
What's this? The story they were telling is that hey, it's okay to be a racist because deep down the other side is bad too.
No,
that's a good moral there, Ken Levine. So
both sides were trying to use him. Like it's
use who?
Booker.
Booker was dead by the
no, the Vox Populi used him. Didn't he die in one of the universes and he became
yeah,
a martyr?
Yeah, they used him as a martyr.
Vox Populi was trying to use him as a martyr, and then they found out that he was alive, so they got to kill him because they're trying to use him as a martyr.
which is, again, that fell flat with me. That whole idea and that whole plot line fell very flat with me. Like,
what about when you pressed X to comfort Elizabeth? How did you feel then? Did you feel like you were really comforting her?
I did, and then she threw me money.
She was really, really upset and like just crying about how brutal.
I can't handle this anymore. Ooh, I found a quarter.
Ooh, you want the money?
It was like having my real daughter in the game. Ooh, a quarter.
I think the main issue I have, like, that it's the dichotomy between the game part and the story part. They just don't – like, the first BioShock, like, every game mechanic – which this is why Portal 2 works so well for you too, Wombat, I think, is that the game mechanics are built into the mythos, like, of the universe. Like, they fit in with the story.
Yes,
and
yes.
They did that in BioShock 1 because you had the splicers – and it made sense why people were trying to like experiment and do all this stuff. In BioShock Infinite, like the Vigors are never explained. Like it makes no sense why Vigors would exist in this environment.
Yeah, right. You know, it's funny. I thought the same thing too. Yeah, and why is there a big factory that they're making them? Who are they for? Yeah, why isn't everyone able to shoot bees out of their hands, or crows in this case? Wherein, in BioShock, everyone went mad and ugly from and creepy looking.
Yeah, it was like that's when I think games work best, is when they know that there's a game mechanic here, but they can somehow, it doesn't have to be gamey, they can somehow fit it into the story.
Now let's change this plot line and you tell me what you think. Let's make a very slight change. Let's get rid of racism, and let's say you won the lottery and you got to throw the baseball because those people were caught stealing Vigors, abusing the Vigors. So now it's two sides. One side that thinks that Vigors should be for everybody, and then there's another side that says Vigors are only for a select group of special people, and that's what they're fighting about. And now you have a reason for Vigors, and when everything goes to crap and one side tries to use you as a martyr, you don't feel like, wait a minute, now the people that we're fighting for equal rights are bad? Does that make it a better game?
Maybe. It makes more sense.
Does that make more sense?
Well, why
am I eating sandwiches out of the trash can? Can you explain that?
Right.
Look, you're eating trash can sandwiches because one side thinks Vigor should be for everybody, and another side thinks Vigor should only be for a select few. Right. Which would also make sense why, you know, if you were fighting, say, you know, the rebellion, they wouldn't have powers, and you're fighting the, you know, the select few that I just created,
right,
and some of them would have powers.
Right. I like that idea. Instead of crowbarring racism in there. Something in that actually makes sense to the gameplay.
Exactly. Because if you're gonna tell me now that the people who think racism is a bad thing are now bad guys, you lose me on the whole rest of the game. You really do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they didn't lose me there because it just felt like,
because you're a racist.
Well, no.
Sympathizer.
Everybody needed to die. It didn't matter.
Right.
It just felt like that was how they were, like, everybody suddenly turned against him. Like, I think that was the main
point of having that happen. Sure, which makes sense from a gameplay perspective, but it doesn't make sense from a thematic. It does not make sense from a story standpoint.
Well, when you find out that he's also Comstock and that he's been doing all this bad stuff all along, it makes sense, like, that he should have to be like fighting everybody.
And why is Comstock a racist?
Booker's not a good dude.
Why does baptism make you? You've been baptized, right, Shipwreck? Were you baptized?
I have.
Yeah. Did you become a racist after you were baptized? Because I'm not familiar with the whole process.
I mean, there's a lot of religious overtones in this game as well. I mean, it doesn't paint religious people in a very good light either. For the most part. I mean, there's some redeeming parts in there, like when you find the guitar and you sing the little, and Elizabeth sings the little hymn to the, I don't know. African-American kid or something, or
yeah,
I forget. It was some downtrodden kid in the game,
right,
that she's like handing an apple to or something. which was kind of like a redeeming moment, I think, for him. But I don't know. I think it's such a good game, though, because it makes people want to have conversations like this. Even if it doesn't all work, it's still at a much higher like level of game making than what 95% of games are.
Sure. And I won't argue with you there. It just would have been nice if it was here. This, I guess, is the big problem right here. It's better than 95% of game stories that are out there, and yet it's still pretty much terrible.
I wouldn't say terrible, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah, it's still not. It's not up to snuff of like you wouldn't read this book. If you read this book, you'd be like, this is stupid. If you saw this movie, if it was just a movie and you took out all the shooting and head removal and swinging from rails,
yep,
and you took all that out, you and just watched it, I don't know. I think I'd be like, this is kind of dumb. Like it wouldn't. Yeah, I don't think it holds up. Well, that's the other thing. That's the other flip side. You're right. Movies like this do exist, and they're usually not well reviewed, and they're considered, you know, popcorn movies. So is the highest form of art for a video game no better than the most throwaway popcorn movie?
No, because clearly Bioshock 1, I think, is...
Yeah, I know. Bioshock 1 kind
of... that.
Yes.
Yeah.
But this is the... But we're saying you're okay with Bioshock Infinite really just being a popcorn movie of video games. A very good popcorn movie. I love popcorn movies. Exactly.
I think it touches... I think that's throwing it under the bus a little bit too much, because it does touch on issues that most games don't even come near touching. Like it does touch on race. At least makes you think
it
about
racism.
It
touches on racism, and then it kind of throws the plot line away under the bus. And I've had I said this to other people, and their response to me is always, well, everyone was a racist in 1914. I'm like, that doesn't make it okay.
Now they gotta die.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't make it okay, and it doesn't mean that, but then don't bring it up as a major plot point and then swipe it under the rug when it becomes inconvenient for the second half of your story, because that's really all that happened. It just became inconvenient. And that it just, it really lost me there.
What was up with that one girl that recognized Elizabeth as being Anna just randomly in the game? Do you guys remember that? Like, you were going through like a turnstile.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there, this girl comes up and is like, oh, it's Anna. And she says like her middle name too or something. And Elizabeth's like, no, I'm Elizabeth. And it's like not touched on at all.
And then all of a sudden she turns around and tries to kill you because you're at the ticket booth.
I don't know. I don't care enough to really discuss the story.
Is that really what it comes
to? The story wasn't that good enough. It wasn't good enough for me to like, I didn't care about the characters. So why would I care about what they did?
The twist, the big twist that Finkel is Einhorn didn't, right. It wasn't enough for me. Like, I didn't like that. I just didn't like it. You know, and so he gave away his daughter to himself. But I don't even know if Comstock had to be him. Like, would it have worked just as well as this is a guy who gave away his daughter and felt overwhelming guilt over it and tried to get her back? I mean, isn't that even enough right there?
Probably.
Isn't that enough of a, because I've never seen a game about like that before. Even if that was the whole story and you knew that from the beginning, guy had gambling, you know, single father has a gambling debt, gives away his daughter, regrets it, decides to go back and get her. Turns out the guy that he gave his daughter to is a crazy billionaire who lives in the clouds. Done. I'm in. You could have told me that. I'm in.
Right.
Sold.
Then you wouldn't need all that time rift nonsense.
Exactly. You really don't. You don't need anything
that's what
else.
You wind up talking about when you're discussing the story. Now
exactly.
You're talking about like who gives a shit about like the science of what would happen if there was different dimensions.
I know, because I think it's a much more what I feel like what I just said is a much more interesting story. I don't know if Shipwreck agrees or disagrees.
I liked the brother and sister.
I like them too. Characters. They were fun characters. I'll give you that. They were the most fun characters in the game.
So I didn't mind the different. I think there are too many different elements going in this game. Like there, Bioshock 1 you had like the socioeconomic thing going on, and then the twist at the end. There was not really like so many different like plot, like little interjections and everything going on as there were in Infinite. And I think it gets a little muddled because of that, because you can't, like you've already said, you would change three different things to make this a better story. Wombat.
Yeah, and I don't think they were
the racism thing. You want to with the racism thing and then do Vigors instead, and then,
well, that's because I said one or the other. Yes, I think one or the other changes would have probably made it a better game, better story.
But you're up to three changes, so you're. But I'm saying there's just so many different aspects of the story that it's hard to get done in a 14-hour game when 10 of those hours are spent shooting dudes in the head.
So you're saying that there were too many aspects?
I really think there were. Like, I think he had Ken Levine had a lot of great ideas and probably tried to put too many of them in this one game.
I won't argue with that. I agree with you. And it actually goes right in with what I was saying. He should have done this, or he should have done this, or he should have done this. But trying to do all three, you wind up either losing a plot point that felt important for the first half of the game, you have superpowers that make no sense, and you have time rifts that feel tacked on at times.
Not really time rifts either.
Whatever they are.
Universe rifts or something.
Whatever. Plot holes is what I call them.
What's up with the ghost of Elizabeth's non-mom? Like, what was that all about?
Like, why is she a ghost?
Yeah.
Why is there a ghost in the game when at no point in the game have we established that ghosts are a real thing? Right. And why is she the only ghost? Where are all your other ghosts? So if you've been there before and have died 800 times or whatever, maybe you only died 400 of the 800 times on that floating thing, where's your ghost?
There was a ghost convention in Cleveland that weekend.
Seriously, it should have been like every time you were on the skyhook, you should have seen another one of you going by, but kind of like Haunted Mansion style, where you're kind of blue and with a big top hat.
Yeah. The whole Lady Comstock thing is like this whole separate story that it's just crazy. Like her not being her real mom and like her like revolting against this man, but she believes in this man, and it's like there's so
and
much
then he
like
kills her.
Stuff going on there that it's just like it's like the back hat like the back 3 hours of this game are probably 30 hours worth of storytelling.
Or they try to tell. Yeah. It definitely it gets a little muddled. You know what? Even when you go and do the whole thing where you try to rescue the gun maker, and then and that's when the whole time rift stuff really starts.
That's when they just lost me.
Exactly.
Right when the part where you find his tools.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, there's no tools here. They must be. And the logical conclusion is, oh, they must be already back in the other universe. He must already have them. I mean, why would you come to that conclusion? That's the most logical conclusion you can come with. How about like maybe somebody took them or they're somewhere else?
No. You're in another universe, so everything is where it should be.
At that point, I was just like, all right, so we're doing this now. Like, just forget it.
And you know,
which I think we're doing this now is the exact same thing that went through my head. Like, as soon as you pass through like two of the portals and you have no idea whether you're back in one of the university verses you've already been in,
or you'll never know. It's just like, I'm not going to go do research now while I'm playing the game to figure out exactly what's happening in the time space continuum. It's just, they lose me as soon as that makes an appearance in the game. And then I admit I sort of tune out from the other parts
of
the story.
It's a shame that the ghost of the gunmaker didn't show up in your Prime universe to make the guns for you.
Who knows? It's just
because
I didn't,
because
like
we know that ghosts are a real thing in this game. So, you know, why not the ghost?
I didn't like the story. I didn't like how in the combat I was so used to, like, maybe I'm just too used to the old BioShock combat where there's just a lot less enemies. I felt like for the first couple of hours of me playing the game, I just couldn't find the enemies.
No, I had trouble. I had trouble finding the enemy sometimes also, and I found it really annoying in the last. I played the whole game on normal mode until that very last fight on the boat, the very last fight.
Where you're getting the bird.
Where you're protecting that protecting the boat.
Oh right.
Yeah, where you're telling Songbird where to
attack. Yeah, when you're telling Songbird where to attack. My boat got blown up like 5 times because I just didn't know where everyone was shooting from.
Right.
And it just became no fun for me anymore, and I played that literally the last 4 minutes of the game on easy just so I could finish it. So I'm like, "You know what? This isn't fun for me. Easy."
Yeah, well, doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, no. But it just was like, okay, the end fight was just, it just didn't work.
I didn't like the end fight either.
It worked fine for me. I mean, it was, you shoot the dudes that are on your boat and you've send Songbird to attack everything that's not on your boat.
Yeah, I didn't have much of a problem. I didn't find it too great.
I didn't know. Controlling Songbird, I thought was pretty awesome.
Controlling Songbird is cool. But you do it at the very end of the game, and you only do it essentially, you know, once, you know, in that
press
one fight.
Press X to control Songbird.
Yeah, I mean, it's
press
not...
Press X to comfort Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Press X to catch the coin. Press X
I'm with Cheapy on this one.
It's the gamiest game that I've played in a long time. And if you're going to do a super gamey game, the story should be gamey too.
You mean like a Far Cry 3?
What's that?
Like a Far Cry.
Yeah, like Far Cry 3 or Tomb Raider.
Which I haven't played Tomb Raider, so I can't compare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Far Cry 3, like, that's the perfect story for me for a game like that.
No,
like,
story, can, essentially.
Yeah, basically.
Where the story is inconsequential to your enjoyment of the game.
Like, in that case, but even still, like, they had good cutscenes. They had the enemies that were despicable enough for you to care about them, and you're not in love.
You
with
had
the
a
character.
Reason to kill everybody. That's
you had a good reason to kill everybody.
Exactly, and that's all you needed in Far Cry 3. Oh, this is why I'm killing everyone.
I'd be curious to see how many different versions of this like script and game were out there, because it seems like it got retooled a lot. Like those guys, I don't even remember what they're called. The guys with the big horns on their like musical horns on their heads, like that showed up in the insane asylum.
Oh, yeah. Those guys.
At president's heads.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, there's those dudes. And it's like, what are these guys? And they're, like, in there for, like, 5 minutes. And there's action figures of these dudes at Toys R Us.
And there were ghosts in there, too. There you go. More ghosts. Ghosts. See? We were complaining about there not enough ghosts. Turns out we're wrong. There are plenty of ghosts.
Were there ghosts?
Yeah. You fought the ghosts in the insane asylum. When the sirens went off, it would, like, warn ghosts, because that's what sirens do. They warn ghosts. You know, siren equals ghost.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, I didn't hate the game. It was fine.
Oh, no, it's an excellent game. It's just, it's...
I don't think it's
frustrating to have something so excellent and be so... It's a Mass Effect 3 thing.
Do you think it deserves its Metacritic score of a 94 or whatever it is now?
I have no issue with that.
Okay. Cheapy.
I mean, I wouldn't give it a 94. If I was giving it a score out of 100, I would give it a 84.
Okay.
Or maybe a little, 84 is good.
I would say, do you think Tomb Raider should have had a score at least equal or
I think
close
Tomb Raider was much better.
Because there's a 10 point difference between these two games on Metacritic.
I don't know.
It's a lot safer of a game too, though, which I think is what gives BioShock the little bit of a bump score wise. Like, I enjoy Tomb Raider as a better game, but
yeah, BioShock is riskier.
That makes it the better game because it's riskier.
No,
well, no,
I disagree with the score.
Okay.
The score differences, but it's okay. I can understand how people could. I'm not everybody, you know.
You're not?
I have my opinion, and people have their own opinion.
I'm sure you're going to get skewered for your opinion. So
No. People understand.
I look forward to it. I enjoyed the game. I actually really liked the game. I thought the guns were interesting. Not that I used that many. I think I used shotgun and RPG more than anything else. But
Carbine. I was Carbine.
Carbine? Yeah, I was Shotgun and RPG. That was my duo. And I liked what I use, electricity, because you could use electricity on robots pretty well, mm-hmm. as well as peeps. And I also liked the fire when you upgraded that to have multiple explosions. You could pretty much clear out a room with one good fire blast. Toss. Yeah. So
just like real life.
Just like real life.
I used electricity and crows.
There you go. Did you feel weird about all the sexual tension between the two of them when you found out that they were father and daughter?
No. I didn't feel like there was any sexual tension.
Nah,
yeah, neither did I.
No, there wasn't any. I'm
truthfully,
just
like, I, a lot of the plot I saw coming, like, I obviously couldn't predict all of the multiple crazy universe jumping and all the effects of that, but I kind of early on, like, figured out what was on his hand and, like, that was probably going to be his daughter, because there's not that many characters in the game. So they're all, like, when you know there's going to be some big twist because it's a BioShock game, there's, like, that, there's not that many options for your mind to wander if you start thinking about it.
Right. I didn't think about it.
Yeah, I didn't think about it either. I'll say that much.
So
I was
like, well, I'm probably going to be the bad guy, and this is probably my daughter, and I'm not quite sure how that all figures together, but there's only three characters in this game plus the two scientists, so.
Right.
Which was weird. There's no boss battles really in this game either. Like the BioShock 1, there was very specific bosses.
Yep.
And this one didn't really have that.
I just felt the atmosphere. I mean, the first one was like The Shining. The first one was reminding me a lot of The Shining. I think that's very those apropos.
Footsteps. And
that scares the crap out of me. But yeah, I mean, I think there's some similarities. If I were to describe BioShock as The Shining of video games, I don't think that that's a crazy thing to say. You may not agree with me, but I don't think you're going to go, that's nuts.
I'm going to hit you in the back with an axe.
Yeah, exactly. But to say, you know, BioShock Infinite is like the Steven Weber version of The Shining of video games. No, I'm just kidding.
All right.
It's missing something. It's good.
Giant tits.
Giant tits.
Elizabeth's breasts were too small. I think that's the biggest failing of the game.
Some people did complain about that, by the way.
They should be.
I read comments with people complaining about that. You joke, but that's an actual complaint that happened.
Her breasts were too small?
Yes. I remember because I copied and pasted one
I think the complaints were that she had gotten a breast reduction from earlier.
earlier pictures?
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, she has that whole coming of age scene where she cuts her hair and gets her boobs about halfway through the game. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think that was a good BioShock talk.
Yep.
Speak of it again.
Yep.
Solved it.
There you go.
Solved the tape.
Stay tuned next week where we'll all discuss the story mode of Injustice.
I'm almost done with it.
Okay.
That story. Yeah. I mean, forget about it.
I think you know how that's going to end.
Yeah, more alternate universes, just what we needed.
Exactly. There's a lot of similarities between Injustice and BioShock Infinite.
Yeah. Anyway, I'd like to thank everybody for listening. Follow us on Twitter, CheapyD, Wombat5277, Shipwreck, Video Game Deals. Vote for the Cheapy Awards. Next week, new CAG is launching, April 29th, I think. Still happening, from what I hear. Reliable sources are telling me it's still happening.
Did you set up a meeting to run it by EA?
Oh, yes. The camera crew. Yes. The documentary is a little delayed. It's being sponsored by Netscape Navigator. They're going to be sponsoring the CAG 3.0 documentary. Yeah, we forgot to do that. Damn. Nobody was interested. Nobody came and called me up and asked me if they could film a documentary about the new CAG.
I could still make it up to New York and Wombat, and I could just walk around New York while somebody like talk about video games.
Okay.
And we could look very somber while we do it. Very somber.
With like cool camera angles and hip music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I actually like those polygon features. The human angle one.
Oh, they're very good. Yeah.
The new one with, well, actually, there's a new one that I haven't seen. I saw the first one with CG, which was very good. And then I saw the second one with Milky and the Bit Summit. And I saw there's a third one, but I don't know who it was.
It's about Vlambeer. I haven't watched it yet, but it's about the guys and
yeah,
how they're getting all their games cloned.
Yes, I will watch that one as soon as I have a chance. But anyway, yeah, that's good stuff. We will see you next week.
Brett's done.